As Brother Shepherd said, I'm Craig Routon. My wife's grandfather was Dwayne Rutherford, and my father-in-law was Tim Rutherford. And so I told my wife when we pulled in the parking lot, it's odd me being here because I've heard so many stories and never been here. My father-in-law, he loved the WSOF. He spoke about it a lot. He cut his teeth here. He entered the evangelism from here. And my dad was one of the first ones to book a meeting with him, and that's how we got associated with the Rutherfords. And that's a lot of water under the bridge. I can tell you that story later. My wife would love to be here, but she is not feeling well. She did have a surgery a couple of weeks back, and she's still trying to recover from that some and still isn't feeling very well. Let me get the formalities out of the way, and then I'll get to preaching, all right? Originally, I was born in Arkansas, but I was raised in Mississippi. My dad's a pastor there, and that's all that I really remember. Amen. Until we moved to Tennessee, my wife and I, and then over to Arkansas. I pastored there for 7 years. This past April, the Lord moved us to Pleasant View. Amen. So Brother Dale Massengill is now our pastor.
Amen.
And just filling in here and there and wherever the Lord sees fit. And so that's how we got here this evening. So I'm glad to be with you this evening. I'm glad to finally get to meet you. Some of you I've seen at youth meetings and at Jubilee. And it's been the joy of my heart to get to meet God's people.
Amen.
In my lifetime.
Yes, sir.
There is no greater honor or privilege than knowing the Lord.
Amen.
And His people.
Yes, sir.
Truly. This evening I'll be in 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13. In Sunday school at Pleasant View, we're going through, in the winter months, we're going through 1 and 2 Corinthians. The kids at the school there at Pleasant View are having to learn that. They're doing Bible quizzing through that. And so this is... That's a lot of what's put me on track for the evening. I'm very concerned for our generation. I am now 43 years old. I have 3 children. I brought my youngest with me, Asher. And so I'm very concerned for what I see in my generation and younger.
Yes, sir.
Extremely concerned.
Yes, sir.
And so tonight, if with the Lord's help, I'd like to deal with 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And in verse 5, and it reads, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates." If you would, let's pray together. Father, we ask for your help this evening. Ask that your Spirit would have free course, be able to speak to us where we are, that we would not play games, but we'd be honest with you in our generation, for you put us here for such a time as this. Lord, pray that you would help us to all search our hearts and that we would not resist nor buck against you, but we would obey you and whatever you say, that's what we would do.
Yes.
Father, we ask for your help tonight and for Island Ford that you would bless them and the endeavors to spread the gospel. Father, we know our time is short and we don't have much longer. Help us, Lord, to do all we can with what we have in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You can be seated. As I told you, I'm concerned for our generation. I don't see much spiritual activity at all. What Brother Shepherd said in prayer room tonight is absolutely true. If God's people would hear His voice, they would obey Him and they would serve Him and follow Him. He said He would turn some things around. That's in Chronicles 7, is it not? And so that is still true for our generation just as much as it was when it was first spoken under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost to God's people as they wrote and as they were moved of the Holy Spirit and they penned down that book that's in your hand. It's still true for today. It's true for your generation and for mine and the one to come. It is still true. Paul here is dealing, he's wrapping up the second epistle to the Corinthian church, or the church at Corinth. And I want to draw a comparison this way, if you will. He says, examine yourselves. Now, if you read 1 Corinthians, and you read the first part of 2 Corinthians, he is spending all of his time defending himself, his apostleship, how he got called into the ministry, who he is. Hey, church is not a place to come to examine God's servants and just to deal with it that way. Oh no, we need to examine ourselves. But see, Paul was defending himself and now he's wrapping it up and he says, now that you've examined me and I've defended myself and I've stood upon God's word, now you examine yourself and see if you can stand the test like I've had to stand the test. You see, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. You see, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, this is what he said as pertaining to the Lord's Supper. Some were eating it and they were taking it and they were not examining themselves. But he said, if you would examine yourself, some of you wouldn't have slept already. Some of you wouldn't be sick. He said, what you're doing is you're eating and drinking damnation, and it stems from not self-examination. So here we have the call to examination. Examine yourselves. And I would like for all of us this evening to examine ourselves. Amen. An exam is nothing more than a test. When you sit down, you remember going through school? Some of you still in school? Hey, if you've been saved by the grace of God, you never get out of school.
That's right.
Well, I don't like all that reading, preacher. You ain't going far with God. I tell you that. That book in your hand has got to be read.
Amen.
And when you sit down to a test, all that you do is write down what you know.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you this evening, how much do you know?
Amen.
How much do you know about the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
This is what Paul is... He is wrapping up this epistle and saying, this is what's most important in life. It's not about just what you know. It's who you know.
Amen.
We've got a generation who's got a lot of answers. We have more commentaries written than ever before.
Yep.
We've got more spiritual helps than ever before. And we have less spirituality than we've ever lived with.
That's right.
We've got massive problems in our land. We've got churches on every corner, and there's not many lost people anymore, are there? You stop and ask them, and they go, oh yeah, I've been saved. And they can tell you about a one-time experience that changed nothing in their lives. Hey, that's a problem. I'll tell you what, Jesus and Him living within is what is most important in this life. There has got to be an examination in our day. It's not about what kind of experience you've had. It's... who do you know?
Right. Amen.
We've got people who prop up on experience, but they have no relationship with Jesus Christ.
Right. Come on.
They have no desire, no inner hunger. There's no longing in their heart to hunger and thirst after righteousness.
Yes,
Jesus said those people would be filled. But we got a generation that's hungry and thirsty after the world, after the things that this world provides. I tell you, friend, you can chase your whole, all your days after the things of this life, and you'll never be satisfied. If you look in the world, you'll never be satisfied. The world can give you certain things. They cannot give you peace within. They can never give you joy that trials cannot take away. They can never give you love that passeth all knowledge.
Yep.
Hey, I'll tell you what Jesus does. If He truly lives within, if the Holy Ghost has ever made Him real to your heart, if He ever changed you, if you're a new creature in Christ, I'll tell you what He does. He puts a love within that passes knowledge. Hey, He puts a joy unspeakable that's full of glory within. He puts a peace that passeth all understanding. He'll do all of those things and the world cannot.
That's right. Absolutely. Exactly right.
Examine yourself. Where are you tonight with the Lord? I want you to think about these things. Examine yourself. That's the first thing. There's an examination. An examination is not fearful. It shouldn't be. It's only fearful for those who don't know exactly where they are. In school, if I studied and I knew the answers, that exam didn't scare me at all. I could just write it down. I knew it. But if I didn't know and I was a little shaky, I wanted to stay away from that. I'll just come back to that one at the end.
Yeah.
Ain't that how it works?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the way a lot of people treat spiritual things with the Lord. They don't want to deal with it.
Right.
I just want to live in my fantasy world.
Yeah.
I want to pretend that I love God when I know within I really love other things.
Right.
More than I do the Lord.
Yep.
And that's a problem.
Yes, sir.
We've got a generation today of young men coming up that would rather play video games than they had deal with reality.
Yep.
You see, the reality is the game ends.
Yep.
Amen.
The reality is you've got a future ahead of you. That what you do in this life is going to affect your eternity.
Right.
Amen.
The whole book of Revelation lines that out. You want me to sum up the whole book of Revelation for you? What you do right now matters forever.
Amen.
That's the whole book. People want to know, well, what about the signs and the times and all of that? Hey, we'll nitpick that to death.
Yeah.
And every generation always has. And every generation's always thought the Lord was coming in their day.
Right.
And I believe He's coming in mine.
Yes.
If you don't, you ain't got a blessed hope within you. Hey, but I'll tell you what. The whole book of Revelation is summed up in what you do in your lifetime matters forever.
Amen.
Don't play around with it. Examine yourself.
Right.
Take the exam. Where do you really stand with the Lord?
Amen.
What is your heart's real desire? Examine yourself. And then I want you to notice there's not only an examination, there's an exploration. Look in verse 5, second phrase, whether you be in the faith. It's not whether or not you have faith. It's whether or not you be in the faith.
Right.
Now for a long time we homeschooled our children before we moved to Pleasant View. And this is the way that I taught them. And when you have a faith, that's very general and broad. When you have the faith, the word the, it is a definite article.
Right.
It's like a big finger pointing and saying, not any, that one.
Right.
That
yes,
one.
Sir.
Are you in the faith?
Right.
Well, I have faith. No, are you in the faith?
Right.
All right. Okay, so let me explain it this way. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, it says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You're familiar with that, right? We learned it as a song as little kids, and sometimes I have to sing it to remember it all. And the life which I now live, I live by a faith. Is that what he's saying?
No,
he said, I live by the faith of myself. No, I live by the faith of the Son of God.
Amen.
Who loved me and gave Himself for me.
Right.
He's not just living by any faith.
Nope.
He's living by the faith of the Son of God.
Amen.
Right? And then he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, is what he said. So here's what he's saying. Well, I have faith. I've got to have faith and all of that. You know where faith comes from? You don't drum it up.
Right.
It's not in you. Faith is a gift. It's a free gift. You see, faith cometh by hearing.
Amen.
Hearing by a word from God. No, see, it's that finger again. It's the word of God.
Right.
Where's faith come from? It's by the foolishness of preaching God's chosen to save them that believe.
Right.
If we're not careful, we'll base an awful lot of what we understand about God on Southern gospel songs that's really unfounded scripturally.
Right?
Right? And so everything's to be tempered by the Word of God.
Amen.
The Word of God. And it's only the preaching of the Word of God about the faith in the Son of God that abounds anything spiritually.
Right.
That's all that matters.
Yes.
So he says, examine yourself. Here's the exploration. See whether you are in the faith. Whether you be in the faith. What faith? The faith of the Son of God. Yeah, well, I have faith. No. You know what I have? The faith of the Son of God.
Amen.
You see, I don't have my own life. I died in Christ. When he saved my soul, Craig died.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, I don't want this or that. No, then you've got you that's got to be crucified. You see, I don't have my life. It's to be the life of Christ living through me. I don't have me anymore. That's Bible.
Amen.
Right? Are you in the faith?
Right.
Where did you get it? Did you get it from preaching? You had to.
Amen.
That's the only way you get. That's the only way you're in the faith. You see, in this generation, that is skirted. That's being put on the back burner. Ecumenicalism is on the rise. And just anything goes. Anybody can get along. Hey, independent Baptists can't even get along anymore, let alone with other brand of Baptists. How in the world are we going to get along with other denominations? We don't even believe in the same thing. Others believe you can fall from grace. I'll not catch that rabbit. Just leave that alone. See, we live in a generation where all that stuff's put away.
Yep.
And what we need is a generation that will earnestly contend for the faith.
Amen.
You see, it's throughout that book in your lap.
Yep.
The faith. Examine yourself to see what kind of faith you're in. Where'd you get it?
Yep.
How'd you get it? Is it making any difference in your life?
Amen. Absolutely.
You got an examination. You got an exploration. Look at the next phrase. He says, prove your own selves. That's an experimentation.
Uh-huh.
You've got to prove it.
Yep. That's good.
Now look here. Here's how you prove it. You don't prove it in four walls in a couple hours on Sunday and then midweek service and then whenever there's special meetings. You prove it. Here's what it means. It means it goes through the fire and it's put to the test. I'm going to tell you when it's put to the test, when you're away from here. And you have to live it.
Yes, sir.
Whenever somebody crosses you and instead of flying off the handle, you use temperance. And you control that inner man. You see, our flesh is not to control us. Your inner man is to control this outer man.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
Someone who is not in control of their flesh is someone who is not adding to their faith, and they are blind and can't see afar off,
yes,
and they've forgotten that they were purged from their old sins.
Yes, sir.
The experimentation is to prove your own selves. Don't prove other people. Yeah, well, I do this because so and so did that. No, you worry about you. You have to get before God one day with you, and you're responsible for you.
Right.
Well, I wouldn't have acted this way if so and so wouldn't have done that. No, you cannot control what other people do.
Right.
You can control your reaction to the situation.
Amen.
And so you have to prove your own self. So what does our own heart say about ourselves? When you get in those tight spots, in those hard situations, when it comes to laying down self and promoting someone else, when it comes to edifying instead of tearing down, hey, that's important in our generation.
Sure.
You know why young people don't want to come back to church? Because they see things that ought to never be among God's people.
Right.
I remember one time when I was a young man, my dad was pastoring, and they were going to vote him out. And they called a big church meeting, and half the deacons were for him, and half were against him. They had too many of them as it was. And one of the deacons got mad and started running down the aisle, and two men clotheslined him in the aisle. All us young people saw that. Very few in my generation are still serving God today. You know why? Because there's unregenerate people living amongst us.
Right.
There's got to be an experimentation.
Amen.
If what you say doesn't match with what you live, don't matter what you say.
Yeah, that's right.
You remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7? He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that
doeth
the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Isn't that what he said?
That's right.
Right. So then it's more than lip service.
Yep.
He said, this people draw nigh to me with their lip, but their heart is far from me. The problem is a heart problem.
Right.
And you'll find that the reason that we do the things that we do is because it's within to do it.
Right.
And when nobody's watching, that's when it comes out. This is basic Christianity that's about to go away.
Yeah.
And my fear, my great fear for my country that I love is that within 20 years' time, you're not going to find an old-fashioned church anymore. God knows, but I'm going to tell you how it's preserved by people who sacrifice for it.
Yes, sir.
And the only way to do that is to examine ourselves and see where we stand.
That's right. Amen.
Awful lot of people base their life and their living upon the man of God and who they have. But friend, you don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know when your man of God may be facing who knows what in this life. You don't know. Thank God for the man of God in our lives. I'm so thankful he preached to me.
Amen.
So glad God used a man to convict my heart of sin. He's preached in the Holy Ghost and my heart was convinced that I was a sinner. And I gave my entire being to the Lord Himself. I remember that day like it was yesterday. And to you that place might not mean much, but to me that's holy ground. That's where I met the Lord Almighty. I'm so glad for the day when He saved my soul.
Amen.
Thank God for the man of God. I loved my father-in-law. But he's now gone. And his words ring in my ears. I used to call him and say, Dad, what do I do with this or that? And he'd give me an answer. And sometimes he'd say, I don't know, son. We'll just pray together.
Amen.
I say, Lord, what do I do, Dad, when I read the Bible and I don't get nothing? He said, read it anyway.
Yeah.
What do I do when I don't believe, I can't hear the voice of the Lord? I want Him to speak to me. He said, read.
Amen. Amen.
That's good counsel.
Yes, sir.
Read God's Word.
Amen.
Say, I want the Lord to speak to me. He does.
Yes.
Through that book. But I want to hear an audible voice. Then won't you read it out loud? He'll speak to you right out of it.
Amen.
I promise you He will.
Amen.
Look, I love my father-in-law. He preached in his last sermon, November of 2017. And he played his guitar and he sang the last song he ever sang. And this is what he sang. Please go with us to heaven.
Amen.
He was so weak he couldn't get on the platform. He had to have help getting loaded in his truck. Took him back to the hotel room where he was staying. The next morning he was admitted to the hospital. By Tuesday morning he breathed his last breath. You don't know what tomorrow holds.
Nope.
And I'm not walking in this way just because of a family that's gone on.
Yeah.
I'm walking this way because of what God did in my heart.
Amen.
Through those men who stood for truth and right.
Yes, sir.
Where's the next generation? Will you prove yourself?
Right.
Will you have an experiment? Will you put yourself through the ringer?
Right.
I tell you what, friend. If you'll do it today, you'll not be sorry tomorrow.
Amen.
We're living on short time. Do you realize what land we're living in?
Right.
Just in the past 5 years, what has changed?
Yep.
Amen.
My soul. I remember as a kid watching things in church and think, and there was just labels put on things and supposedly, you know, this party was against that party, but they all got along, but not anymore.
Right.
Things have changed big time in our land.
Yes, sir.
Every Saturday night, the men, Pleasant View, we meet up and pray. Brother Massengill said last night, he said, men, I've got a real concern. He said, the land that we live in is quickly changing.
Yes,
and he said, if we don't have a revival immediately in our land, he said, then God is going to drop judgment on us in a big way.
Yes, sir.
And the good And the righteous, they always suffer right along with everybody else. We've got hard days ahead of us, friend. It's not time to play around.
Amen.
I'm persuaded of that.
Yes, sir.
It's time that we get alone with the Lord, that we do business with God with the time that we have.
Amen.
Because the days are quickly going away.
Yes, sir.
Job said his days were like a weaver shuttle.
Yep, yep.
He said they're just... How many of you ladies have ever watched a needle on a sewing machine?
Yeah.
It moves mighty quick, doesn't it?
Yep.
That's the way your life's moving.
Right.
You're going to go to sleep, you're going to wake up, and it's going to be daylight again. And then it'll be daylight again and again and again. I feel like I fell asleep. Now I'm 43.
Yeah.
And I've got three youngins that are about grown.
Yeah.
I don't know where time went. And some of you have years on me.
Yep.
And I don't know where time has gone. My goodness, we don't have time to waste. We need to redeem the time while we can. Now, I told you that there is an examination, an exploration, and then there is an experimentation to prove your own self. And then there needs to be an explanation. He says this, he says in verse 5, "Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you?" Don't you know if he's inside of you? Don't you know that?
Amen.
How'd he get in there? The Holy Spirit had to make him real to you.
Amen.
I grew up on a church pew. I heard the stories. I could quote the verses.
Yep.
I knew that backward and forward. I even knew some of the deacons so well I could say what they were going to pray before they even did it. It became religious habit, ritual,
yes,
and duty.
Amen.
I knew it. But one day, the words on that page went a whole lot further than that ear on my head. It went down so deep inside of me, it troubled me so bad, I lost sleep for 3 days.
Amen.
Until I submitted myself under His authority.
Amen.
And I said, "Lord, I'll take you on any terms. I'm in trouble and I need help."
Yeah,
hey, until you get to that shape, friend, you ain't a candidate to be saved.
Right.
Okay, He don't save any that don't want to be.
Right.
He don't save any that ain't asking Him to be.
Right.
He don't save any. You don't just fall into it or slide into it.
Right.
You got to ask your way in.
Yeah,
you got to submit yourself to His Lordship and under His authority.
Right.
He don't save any that He doesn't lord over.
Right.
That's the truth.
That's right.
Say, how do you know? You study this one out. You get your Strong's Concordance and you look at how many times He's called Lord,
right,
and then how many times He's called Savior.
Yep.
Amen.
He's called Lord over 3,000 times. Jesus is called Savior 33 times. If you don't want a Lord, you ain't getting a Savior.
That's right.
There's got to be an explanation.
Yep.
Don't you know how He got in there? Can you explain it? Can you explain? Can you give an answer of the hope that lies within you?
Amen.
Do you know what is... Well, hey, listen to me. I'm a simple-minded guy. I'm from the country. I was raised in the sticks, an hour from the Gulf Coast. We ain't too smart. So I have to put it on my level. So maybe you can get it, all right? If you had somebody move in your house, living in your house, under your roof, in a bedroom, you think you would know it? Can the Lord of glory move within you and the Holy Ghost be within you and you not know it?
Right.
Can you explain the hope that you got?
Amen.
Do you know how He came?
Mm-hmm.
You know how He convicted you? Do you remember being made new?
Amen.
Do you remember when the burden left?
Yeah.
I had one man explain it to me this way. He said, "I felt like a big vacuum cleaner grabbed a hold of me and took the whole burden off of me." That's what he said.
Amen.
I read after one man, he said it this way. He said, "Can you imagine you're carrying a 100-pound sack up a hill and somewhere about the middle of the hill, somebody took the load off of your back and you make it to the top of the hill and someone saying, 'Sir, how'd you get that 100-pound sack off your back?' And you saying, 'I don't know if it's gone or not. I think I might still have it.' You think you'd know if 100 pounds fell off of you?"
Yes, sir.
Do you think you'd know if the Lord of glory saved your soul and moved within? Do you think you'd know it? Know you not that Christ be in you? Don't you know that? Can you explain it away? Do you have an explanation? You see, we live in a generation who's got cheap words, but they have no fruit. They have no life. And every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. And there's no other way around it. It is what it is. Just call the tree what it is. Either call it good or bad. But it is what it is. That's what Jesus said. We can't make excuses for some things. It just is what it is. And we're living in a day where we need to examine ourselves and prove our own selves. See whether we be in the faith. He said, know you not whether Christ be in you. Except what? What's the last part of the verse say? He says, except you be reprobate. You know what a reprobate is? Just for the sake of alliteration. That's an exaggeration. They're exaggerating who they really are. It's very simple to understand what a reprobate is. This particular word for reprobate is the word that means not standing the test. It means it's unapproved. It's rejected. In 1 Corinthians 9, Paul termed it this way, lest I myself should be a castaway. That word castaway is the same word reprobate here. In Hebrews chapter 6, it says that briars are nigh unto cursing and rejected. That word rejected is the same word for reprobate here. So it's translated various ways. It means it's unapproved. It's unacceptable. It's not accepted. Now, if you was to look at the root of this word, this is the Greek word dokimos. And here's what that means. It's the word for the money changer. You ever notice those coins in your pocket? They ain't real silver no more, sorry. 1964, they took the silver out.
Right.
But prior to 1964, your quarter and your dime was 90% silver. Today, that means it would be worth more melted down than it would be as a coin. With George Washington or Roosevelt on it. So have you ever noticed those coins have got ridges all the way around them? Do you know why they did that? Because if those ridges are gone, that coin is unacceptable and that's to be taken out of circulation. Here's the reason why. It looks right. It feels right. It has the right image on it. Everything looks legitimate until you put it in the scale. And then, it might be just a little off, but it's unacceptable.
Right.
What the money changers would do is they would have thousands of coins that would go through their hands. And they would take a paring knife, and their coinage was softer than what we have today. And they would just pare a little bit off, a little few shavings off of that coin. And then the next coin. And it doesn't look like much, but when you put it in the scale, it doesn't weigh out.
Right.
And so that's the word here that's reprobate. Looks right. Feels right. Image looks right. Everything appears to be okay. But one day, be put in the scale. And how will it weigh out then?
Amen.
You see, Belshazzar was going to throw a big feast in Daniel chapter 5, I believe. And as he did, there was a hand that appeared and wrote on the wall. And what it said was many, many tekel upharsin. And here's what tekel means. Thou art put in the scales. Thou art found wanting.
Amen.
And see, one day, friend, every one of us is going to appear before either the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne. One of the two.
Right.
And it ain't going to be an enjoyable day. It ain't going to be a fun day. If you think you're going to have bubble gum and click your heels and say, thank you, old buddy, for letting me in, it ain't happening that way. John the Beloved, closer to Jesus than anybody else, at the Last Supper, laid his head on his breast and said, Lord, who is it that'll betray you? If He was close enough to lay his head on the Lord's breast. But in Revelation chapter 1, when he saw him on his throne, he fell as a dead man.
Right.
If John ain't going to stand before him, what makes us think we will?
Right. Amen.
That's going to be a fearful day.
Yes, sir.
A dreadful day.
Yes, sir.
All those opportunities lost.
Yeah.
All those things we gave our time and attention to that mattered for nothing and counted nothing for the kingdom and for Christ. It strikes a chord in my heart that there's more to it than what we see. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. It ain't just about the here and now.
Yep.
It's about what's to come.
Amen.
I could chase a rabbit on that. I'll just leave that alone. If you care enough to delve into quantum physics and see what the scientists and the bright minds of our generation have to say, I'll sum it up this way. They say that what we have found in atoms and the way that they compose and how they react with one another, there is a much larger reality that we don't understand. I could have told you that. If there is not an examination, if there is not a looking within, if there's not a dealing with our own hearts now, they will be dealt with later.
Yes, sir.
And Jesus said that the hidden things are going to be made known.
Right.
The things that you think you've covered up are not covered up.
Right.
Unless they're dealt with. Yes. Unless there's an exam. Hey, look, this is an open book test.
Yes.
Just grab the book and go to it. You can find out where you stand.
Yes.
Well, I don't know that anybody can. Sure you can.
Sure.
You can know where you are with the Lord. You know where you stand. He's not made it hard for any. He's made it so simple that a young one can get a hold to it. And yet, so in depth that the oldest of us cannot dive down to the depths
right.
of it.
You're right.
Really, it's simple. We try to complicate things and we want to add things and take away things and such, and we don't want to deal with the simplicity of the gospel.
You're right.
If that coin that money changer had paired off, if it was put in the scale and it was found lacking and it wasn't full weight, it was unacceptable, it was unapproved, it was discarded as
right.
worthless. It was not to be put in circulation. It was not to be used. So here's what I would encourage us all to do tonight. Search our hearts. Ask the Lord to try our reins. See if there be any wicked way in us. None of us are above that.
Right.
What are your motives? Why do you do what you do?
Right.
What drives you?
Yep.
What is your goal? Well, we can pretend outwardly and yet it really be something else underlying.
Right.
And if there is anything in the heart or in the world that is deceptive, it is the heart. That's what Jeremiah 17 says. It says that the heart is desperately wicked, right? It's deceitful and desperately wicked. And then he said, who can know it? Well, here's what people I hear say. Well, if I know my heart. Well, you don't.
Right.
You don't know it. And unless the Holy Ghost deals with you
yep.
and He exposes it and shines light on it, you'll never know it.
Right.
He's the only one
Amen.
Who can expose those things.
Amen.
If that coin was found reprobate, then it was there was an expulsion. It was thrown out. One man put it this way. He said that if those coins were found to be lacking, he said those men who took them out of circulation, they were the dokimos. They were the ones who had integrity. They had character enough. Some men that were money changers didn't care. That was just extra money in their pocket and silver on the side. And once they got enough silver, they would melt it down and then they would get extra gain out of it. But this word for money changer that had integrity, that would do what was right and do the proper examinations, here's what he said they would do. He said it's the same word also that links to the word Christian in your Bible. You're to be one of integrity.
Right.
You're to be Christ-like.
Amen.
You're to examine yourself. A regular. The reason is because others in the world see that. There was, and this word that I'm telling you was only used seven times in your Bible. That's a perfect number, so the Lord must mean it.
Yeah.
That's the only way I can take that. It's important that we examine ourselves.
Yes, sir.
And to do it thoroughly.
Amen.
I'm sorry, the Bible word is not thoroughly, it's throughly. You know why that is? I feel like I'm teaching right here.
Go ahead.
Here's what it means to be. Thorough means all around. Through means from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
My hand can be around the cup, but to put my hand in the cup, that's through.
Right?
Right?
Right.
And the Word of God is to be. Study to show thyself approved. That's the same word.
Uh-huh.
Approved unto God.
Amen.
A workman. Rightly dividing the word of truth. A workman needeth not be ashamed, right? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Isn't that what he says?
Yep.
All right. And then why is that? It says that the man of God may be perfect and
throughly
furnished. You know why? That word to get inside and work its way out.
Amen.
The only way for that word to get in and to be throughly is to get in, work its way out.
Amen.
How much? Let's examine ourselves tonight and see how much of the word of God is in there.
Yep.
How much is in? How much do we just say?
Amen.
I remember one time as a young man, there was an evangelist come through, and I don't remember all of the way the poem went, but this was a gist of all of it that I remember, all right? Here's what it said. It said, I may mistake the things you say and the high advice you give, but there is no misunderstanding how you act and how you live.
Amen.
How much of that book is in us, really?
Yeah.
It comes out in times when you least expect it. And if there is not, if there is something that's amiss within, and the Holy Spirit deals with it, it's time to do business with Him and get it right.
Yeah.
It's not time to put it off and say, well, I don't know, let me think of it. No, friend, it's time to deal with it while He's dealing with you, because the pressure may be off later, and then you'll go back into your delusion, and you'll think everything's okay when it's not. Whatever the Lord says to you, do it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And respond immediately.
Yes.
Don't put off tomorrow what ought to be done today.
Amen.
Amen. Trust the Lord's helped you tonight. Examine yourself.
Amen.
See whether you be in the faith. And this is not to try to make people doubt
No.
on where they stand. It's just simply taking the test again and saying, let me just make sure again. Here's what Paul said. He said, I don't want to be as one that beateth the air, shadow boxing, just playing around. He said, I want to be serious about this deal. Lest, he said, after I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Hey, you would think that Paul himself would be the one who's the most confident in where he stood with God. But he said, I don't take any of it for granted.
Right.
Examine myself. And you examine yourself.
Right.
And the reason is because we've got a lost and dying world. And they want to know that there's a difference.
Yep.
And I'm going to tell you what's the difference. The difference is when the people of God gather together and there's something in their heart and they get together and they sing like somebody's.
Amen.
And they say, I don't understand how I got in here, but I know I've been born again.
Amen.
And I'm so glad He saved me. And when you start singing with tears coming out your eyes and your hand in the air and saying, thank you, Lord, for your mercy in my
Amen.
Life. They can explain a lot of things, but they cannot explain that one.
That's right.
Amen. I'll tell you what else they can't explain. They can't explain how a sinner can be free from the guilt of his past.
Right.
They may not forget what you was, but they can't explain how you are where you are today.
Amen.
When God's people get together, hey, they want hope. They don't want to just lip service. They want to know it's right. So let's examine ourselves.
Amen.
Are you close to the Lord as you've ever been? Or are you off away from Him? Does He seem to be close? Are you walking with Him?
Amen.
I told a man this morning at church, he's asking me about the book of Leviticus. I said, I'm going to sum up that book for you. You ready? I said, it's about how to worship God and how to walk with God.
Yeah.
That's the whole book.
Amen.
And you don't have to know all those ins and outs and what to offer and what times and how to part out this part and put it there. Hey, it's all fulfilled in Christ.
Amen.
He's all.
Yep.
He's all in all.
Amen.
If you got Christ, you got every one of those offerings that's in
that's
there.
Right.
All you got to do is walk as you received Him, so walk ye in Him.
Amen.
How did you get Him? I'll tell you how I got Him. I was lost and undone, and He came by my way.
Amen.
And He dealt with my soul. And I said, yes, Lord, I'll take You on Your terms. I don't have nothing to offer. If You save me, it'll be by Your grace.
Amen.
And He saved me by His grace. And that's how I got Him.
Amen.
And that's how I walk with Him.
That's right.
I'm afraid of me.
Yeah.
That's the reason I set up boundaries and barriers and barricades. That's the reason I surround myself. That's the reason I travel not alone.
Right.
I want to be accountable.
Amen.
I want to do what's right.
Amen.
At all costs, if it's all possible, I want to. You know why? Because I don't want to take His grace for granted.
Right.
And I don't want to presume. That's where a lot of people fail. In their examination, they presume.
Yep.
Well, I think it's okay. How do you know? Don't presume. Just take some time. Go down the rank and file in your mind. Where do I measure up in this thing?
Yes, sir.
How serious am I? Where's the Lord at in this? Do I run everything by Him? Or do I just presume?
Yeah.
Where am I at the workplace? How am I perceived by others? Hey, look. I'll cut concrete in Memphis for 10 years. The man that owned the company was a deacon in a Southern Baptist church. He did not live everything that he said he did.
Right.
And my foreman, after 9 years, he told me, he said, I have watched you for 9 years. I've never heard you say a bad word.
Right.
I've never seen you fly off the handle. He said, I've given you the worst jobs on purpose. I'm talking bad jobs, working in sewer plants. He said, I did it on purpose to see how you would respond. He said, I'm more willing to listen to you than the owner of the company.
Amen.
Took 9 years. You don't know who's watching you.
Right.
You don't know. Examine yourself.
Amen.
See whether you be in the faith.